This is Chasing Wisdom, your source for conversation and serious ideas for those striving to become wiser leaders in business. Your host is Dr. Sam Serto. Sam is the Steinmetz Professor of Management in the Graduate School of Business at Rollins College in Winter Park, Florida. He also serves as a leader at Northland, a church distributed located in Central Florida. Along with leaders from various fields, our goal is to provide practical wisdom for those navigating real-world business challenges. Welcome to this conversation about how to become a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life.
Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Sam Serto, and you're listening to the Chasing Wisdom podcast. Here, leaders talk about business, Bible, and life to help all of us become wiser leaders. Today, our guest is Dr. Ted Hamilton. Dr. Hamilton is Chief Mission Integration Officer and Senior Vice President of Mission and Ministry for Adventist Health System. In this role, he provides direction and oversight of mission and ministry, developing and implementing strategy and incorporating mission across all the organization's inpatient and outpatient areas. Dr. Hamilton previously served as Vice President of Medical Mission for Adventist Health System. His experience also includes serving as Senior Medical Officer for Florida Hospital, Director of Florida Hospital's Family Practice Residency, Executive Director of the Loma Linda Faculty Medical Group, and Medical Director for HMO Georgia. During his years working as a family physician, he delivered more than 500 babies. Yes, that's right, 500 babies. A graduate of the Loma Linda University School of Medicine, Ted completed his family practice training at Florida Hospital. He also earned a master's degree in business administration from the Rollins College Crummer Graduate School of Business. Ted is an active participant in Adventist Health System's Community Involvement Program, which supports several Central Florida nonprofits and has served on boards of the Orlando Healthcare Center for the Homeless, Shepherd's Hope, and Second Harvest Food Bank of Central Florida. A published author, Hamilton's book is called Building Bridges, A Guide to Optimizing Physician-Hospital Relationships. Ted, it's great to have you here today.
Thank you very much. I've been looking forward to it.
You know, when you sent me some of the materials I could look over, the first question that I had was, what's it like to deliver a baby?
Oh, my goodness. It is such fun. It's one of the happiest things that doctors get to do in those rare circumstances where it doesn't go well. It's also one of the most tragic and heartbreaking things for a doctor to be part of. But overall, delivering babies is just a fun thing for doctor and patient and maybe even for the baby. Who knows?
Who knows, right? Okay, well, good. It sounds like a fantastic thing to do. Tell us about your organization. We have people who are listening to this who are leaders in different kinds of organizations, and the reason they listen to these podcasts is to try to find out how what you do they may be able to do in their own organizations. And the beginning part of that is they need to understand a bit about Adventist Health System and what it means.
Sure. Adventist Health System is a quite large healthcare organization. We have 43 hospitals in 9 states. Half of those hospitals are spread across the belt of Central Florida, from Tampa across through Orlando and to the East Coast beaches. Ormond and Daytona and Flagler Beaches, we have hospitals. We also have hospitals in Texas, Colorado, Missouri, Illinois, Wisconsin, and down through the southern Appalachian Mountains. In addition to those 43 hospitals, we have numerous outpatient facilities and other healthcare businesses that include long-term care. We have 18 or so nursing homes, home health agencies, hospice, outpatient surgery centers, laboratories, imaging centers, the whole spectrum of the healthcare delivery system.
And I guess one of the things that makes this so powerful to me is that you have some 5 million patient contacts each year.
That's correct. Those are patient touches of one sort or another. Today, across our company, we will admit 1,000 patients. Last year, our total admissions across all those hospitals was 364,000. So it's 1,000 a day plus a little bit. In the outpatient setting, today we will touch 20,000 lives in one way or another across our company. It may be something as simple as a lab test or an imaging study or something as complex as an outpatient surgery or procedure, but 20,000 touches, 20 times as many outpatient contacts as inpatient contacts around our company.
Huge organization.
Huge organization. 80,000 employees in total, and probably 10,000 doctors or so that are either employed or affiliated with our hospitals in one way or another.
Okay. Now we have a good picture of the organization. Now tell us what you do.
So Adventist Health System is a faith-based, mission-focused, church-governed, and community-facing, community-oriented organization. My daily job is to oversee the spiritual and missional ministries of Adventist Health System. So in our 43 hospitals, we employ 110 chaplains. In addition to having the opportunity to work with a number of volunteer chaplains and with chaplaincy training programs where student chaplains train in our hospitals. So my work is to help our hospitals bring mission to life within the walls of their organizations.
When you think about the idea of organizational mission, and you talk about yourself as a Chief Mission Integration Officer, a unique title, a great title. And when you think about that, to me, that means that you're putting mission and activity together and making
yes.
sure those two fit.
Yes.
And you do that for the entire system.
Provide leadership to it.
Okay.
We have a firm belief that if we are to fulfill at all our mission, which is to extend the healing ministry of Jesus Christ to the people and communities we serve, mm-hmm. we must do that through those 80,000 employees that I referenced. That's the only way we can touch the lives of those 1,000 inpatient admissions and 20,000 outpatient contacts that we'll see right. every day is through those employees. So my task and the task of the dozen or so people who work with me at our headquarters building is to enable, inspire, train, and resource those primary caregivers to bring mission with them to work, and then help them assess how well we're doing in accomplishing those goals so that we can continually improve, continually address the spiritual needs of our patients and their families.
So, and when you think about this and you reflect on it, the group that you have has an ominous task over such a large umbrella of the organization. And yet there are people who are driving in a car right now who may be in a sole proprietorship who have that same function of what is the mission of the organization. How do you integrate that with the activities so that if people are looking for ways to say what you're doing is relevant to what they're doing, it's the same function, it's difference seems to be organizational size. Would you agree with that?
I think the difference is organizational size. One, just an example, we are encouraging and, in fact, training our doctors to be in addition to physicians of the body and the mind, to also address the spiritual issues that patients bring with them to the clinical encounter. So we're encouraging our doctors to ask of certain patients, not every patient, but of patients who seem to have a particular need, three simple questions. Those questions are you part of a faith community when you need it, that can help you when you need it? Do you have religious beliefs that might affect some of your medical decisions? Mm-hmm. And the truth is, most of us do in one way or another, what we believe about birth or death or dietary or what most people do. So that's a good question to ask. And the last question that we're asking our doctors to pursue a bit is, do you have a spiritual need today? In addition to what brought you in, is there something you'd like for us to know about and to address? And that interaction is really rather amazing in what takes place in the doctor's office.
You know, this whole program that we're doing right now, not only this podcast, but all the podcasts we do, has to do with putting business and Bible together. And I'm sitting here thinking, those are good questions for that sole proprietor to be asking.
Yes.
In some circumstances in their own organizations.
Yes.
And the impact of that seems to be a closer relationship with people. It seems to be better assessing of the needs that they have so you can serve them in a more appropriate fashion.
We just completed a research study in collaboration with Dr. Harold Koenig of Duke University to determine if we could help doctors begin to incorporate the spiritual aspect into their practices. And one of the things we learned in that study that just truly amazes me even today, a year after the study ended, is how large the population of doctors is that, given permission and support and training and resources, will incorporate spirituality into their practice of medicine, regardless of specialty, regardless of their religious worldview, because they believe it to be good medicine, mm-hmm. good clinical practice. When the study was completed, we did some exit interviews on the doctors and asked them how it went and how it might have affected them. And the answers they gave were really rather amazing. I feel like I'm a better doctor now. I understand my patients better. I feel like I'm practicing a deeper level of care. One that I will never forget is one who said, as an atheist, I understand my believing patients better.
Well, and when I think about that, and you know my background, I teach in a graduate business program.
Yes.
And I'm thinking about leadership all the time. And those same results can be manifested in any kind of a leader.
Yes.
Any kind of a leader. So
I believe that.
It's generalizable.
Yes.
To all kinds of organizational situations.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. We have a feature that we sometimes call Sunday to Monday. You know, actually, we always call it Sunday to Monday. We don't sometimes call it. And it has to do with what you might hear on a Sunday or a Saturday in terms of the Bible, Scripture, your spiritual beliefs. And one of the verses you shared with me was Micah 6:8. Tell us about that, how you might hear that on a Sunday and how it manifests in your organizational life.
What does the Lord require of you? But to do what's right. Do what's right. Love mercy and walk humbly with God. I've been thinking a lot lately, Sam, about that walk humbly part.
Mm-hmm.
In the Bible class that I teach A few weeks ago, we were studying the life of Enoch, ancient patriarch. And Scripture tells us that Enoch walked with God. Also says that Noah walked with God. And I've been thinking about what it means to walk with God. It seems to me that it's not at all complicated. It means being willing to show up and visualizing God as waiting on the corner, wondering, is Ted going to show up today? Is Sam going to show up and walk with me today? And once that kind of dawned on me, I've been making a point every morning to say, God, here I am, I'm showing up. I just want to walk with you. It is just, it's remarkable how that influences the day. Because I believe that God is just waiting there, inviting me, and I just have to show up, be willing to walk.
If you think about how your interaction for the day might go with the people in your department or your area, how does what you do, how is it influenced by that walk? Can you give us some examples of how that walk with God impacts your conversation, your activity, in your area?
You know, I have the privilege of working in a faith-based organization, so many, perhaps not all of our employees, but many are believers. They believe in God and bring their faith to work with them. It's not at all unusual, as you know, to exchange pleasantries when you walk in the building and happen to meet someone you haven't seen in a few days. How are you today?
Sure.
Well, my how are you has become fantastic. I woke up this morning. I was able to get out of bed on my own power. I had a good breakfast. I'm coming to work in a place where I love the people and they love me and we have good work to do. How could it be better? So it's showing up. It's walking. And it's sharing with those who cross my path about the blessings, large and small, that God somehow allows me to stumble over as we walk together.
And that generates lots of smiles, doesn't it?
It does.
It generates smiles in relationships. And organizations are all about relationships. It's almost, and I think back to the atheist that you're talking about. The recommendations are in the Bible. You don't have to be a Christian to appreciate the insight and the wisdom that's there.
That's right.
And when you practice that insight and wisdom, you're surprised at the relationships that are built.
Yes.
It just happens.
Yeah.
We end each podcast with what we call Pearl of Wisdom. And unfortunately, we're getting toward the end, Ted.
Flies by, doesn't it?
It does fly by. And you have also listed a verse for your Pearl of Wisdom. Tell us what that verse is and its value in life in business organizations.
I came across this verse some years ago in 1 Corinthians 15:10. It probably was not the first time I had read it, but it was the first time that it struck me in quite the way it did. And in this letter of Paul to the folks living in Corinth, he says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. Paul would have been the first to admit that he was anything but perfect. He had a rather colorful religious background that actually prepared him in some ways for what God would have him do, but in other ways left him terribly unprepared for it. But by the grace of God, Paul was able to say, nearing the end of his career, by God's grace, I am what I am. That verse allows me to relax And to understand that God's grace has been at work in my life in ways sometimes obvious, most of the time unclear, and my imperfect following does not in any way compromise or dilute God's ongoing grace. And by that grace, I am who I am. I am what I am. I have the immense privilege of doing what I'm allowed to do. And it's not my doing. It's God's grace.
And when you're comfortable in that, the stress sort of leaves.
It does.
The stress is gone.
It takes the burden off of my shoulders.
It takes the burden off of your shoulders. And any leader's shoulders who is willing to say, I am what I am because God made me that way.
By God's grace.
And when God puts you in a role, by His grace, you are what you are, and you move that role forward.
Yes.
You don't have to strive for promotion. You don't have to strive for development. It's your focus on who you are because of what you are. And you put those together and you move forward. And that, again, helps build relationships in your organization.
Being a vehicle, being in some small way a purveyor of God's grace to those I touch each day, and in the process of walking with the God who has invited me to walk with Him and yielding to the work of grace in my life, the work gets done. The work gets done.
Terrific. A great parting note. Unfortunately now, time is up. Thanks, Ted, so much for being here. You listeners can find Dr. Hamilton with the email address. Let me just spell it for you. TED.HAMILTON@AHSS.org. Thanks to all of you listeners for being here on Wisdom Wednesday. You can keep in touch with me on Facebook at chasing.wisdom or my website, chasewisdom.com. See you all next Wednesday. In the meantime, don't forget to keep chasing. God bless.
You've been listening to Chasing Wisdom with host Dr. Sam Serto. We would love to hear from you regarding this podcast. You can reach us at northlandchurch.net/chasingwisdom. We will be here each Wednesday with a fresh look at being a wiser leader in business, Bible, and life. Want to reach out to Dr. Serto? Email him at sserto@rollins.edu.